us. Did you notice that something significant was missing in Luke's version of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? It was palm branches. Luke makes no mention of the crowd waving palm branches or singing hosannas. In Luke's account of Jesus' entry into the city, the people place along Jesus' path their single most important possession, their cloaks. A cloak was the most expensive article of clothing one possessed. Most people owned only one. They constantly mended it and never discarded it. For the poorest of the poor, a cloak was more than an article of clothing. It was their shelter and home. The holy poor of Luke's narrative places all that they have at the disposal of the Messiah. To be disciples of the Redeemer Jesus is to lay down at the service of one another whatever we have and whatever we are. To empty ourselves of our comforts and fears and pride in order to become vessels of God's life and love in our own Jerusalems and in our own Holy Week journeys. So what is the most precious thing you own? What is that one thing that defines who you are? That one thing that you would be totally lost without? Whatever it is that makes you the person you are, whatever gifts you possess that give your life purpose and meaning, will you lay it down on the road before the one who comes in the name of the Lord? Hell hath no fury like a mob riled up by demagogues. That was my opening statement in last Sunday's homily. We met a crowd infected with contagious fury and ready to stone a woman for adultery. This week's crowd is enthralled with the spectacle of Jesus' entry into the holy city, leading to the crowd's shouts of, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" This week we call holy invites us to enter into the heart of our faith with our heads and hearts and feet. We will listen to the stories, feel the mix of emotions, and walk the stations that recall the final week of Jesus' life on earth. One way we might approach this week is through the vantage point of the three crowds Luke describes in his passion. We have repeated their diverse responses to Jesus through the ages, and probably in our own lives. Pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover were the majority of the first crowd. This diverse group included some more pious than others, some experts in the traditions, and others who had barely heard the stories of Jesus. Then Jesus, the popular prophet, appeared among them, not on pilgrims' feet, but humbly riding a donkey. This crowd, already in a holiday mood, Consider Jesus a superstar, welcoming him with wildly enthusiastic singing and escalating expressions of homage and chanting a song that echoed the hymns angels sang at Jesus' birth. However, this crowd's commitment was about as deep as the individual footprints they left. The excitement would fade as soon as the winds of danger blew onto the scene. As night came and the star fell, their enthusiasm waned more quickly than the moonlight. They were pretending, but they were not fully sold on Jesus. Whether or not they eventually joined either of the next two crowds, they quickly quieted their proclamations of faith and retreated into silence about the King who had come in the name of the Lord. The second crowd gathered during Jesus' trial. They included the assembly of the religious leaders and an amorphous group called the people. Some of them may have witnessed Jesus' arrest in the garden. Pilate assembled this group and told them that he had found Jesus innocent of any capital crime. He said he deserved nothing worse than a flogging. But this mob, riled up by demagogues, shout and scream, raucously denouncing Jesus and demanding that Pilate release a convicted criminal in his place. Pilate thus handed Jesus over to them. We might characterize this second crowd as complicit bystanders and vociferous collaborators. They turned into co-agitators with their hierarchy when facing Pilate. Like Peter, who denied Jesus, they repeated their demand three times over to release a criminal ironically called Barabbas. His name means son of the father. Opposers today promote their own interest and their own agendas. Opposers try to tear down God's people, just like the Pharisees and Sadducees try to do to Jesus. They sing the tune most suited to their purpose. The third crowd, mentioned only by Luke, followed behind the condemned Jesus. Luke explains that this crowd included many weeping women. This is the only group to whom Jesus spoke during the time of his passion. Women. Women. These women were the only group to register any sort of protest or grief over what was happening to Jesus. And Luke makes it a point to mention three times that these women followed Jesus. They followed him on the road at a distance from the cross, and when they placed his body in the tomb. Sometimes presence is the only and most important thing someone has to offer us. Presence. This committed crowd is the one most people say they are in. However, this is the smallest crowd. Well, we should look at where we find ourselves today. With which crowd do we identify? How do we publicly express our hosannas when we are not in a crowd of happy, singing Christians? How often do we end up as complicit bystanders because we avoid speaking an unpopular opinion? Are we willing to appear as weak as the women who could do no more than walk and weep and allow our presence to speak a potent message of solidarity? And finally, how will you set aside your regular routine these next 8 days to enter into Holy Week?